Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Welcome to a solo episode, guys. I am interrupting the Wholehearted series to talk about a topic that has really been a game changer, and I've talked a little bit about it, but that's the topic of validation. And I just thought I would jump on here and talk about this topic today because a huge theme that comes up in coaching people and has been in my own life is conflict inside of relationships or feeling misunderstood, feeling pain inside of connection, and feeling really lonely. And so I really wanted to talk about validation because it has been a game changer for my relationships. And it's probably the main thing and something that is like a pillar in my coaching is really learning how to validate my client and make them feel like their experience matters and then therefore they matter. So I'm going to jump into talking about what validation is and how to do it. But I do want to preface, like when I learned this, I went on a journey of like almost like doing it badly. Like I think that some people are just naturally empathetic. So learning how to, they just naturally know how to validate people. But then there's some tensions that arise with validation that I'm going to be talking through today. So a lot of my understanding of validation first came from Abby and Justin Stumble. I remember hearing a sermon actually that Abby Stumble did on validation, and I sent it straight to my mom. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is groundbreaking. And I remember my mom really absorbing that teaching and like it shifted our relationship and it being so powerful in our connection. Because I think a lot of the time our pain is that the people in our life aren't listening to us. We don't feel seen. We don't feel heard. We feel misunderstood. You know, when someone says the wrong thing about what we're going through and then we feel frustrated. Like there's so many things inside relationship where we just don't feel completely heard. And then we don't even know how to ask for what we need, or we don't even know how to attune to ourselves. We don't know how to listen to ourselves. So how can we set relationships up in our lives for success? And in this series, of the Wholehearted series, I had my friend John Toms on. We were talking a little bit about validation. And then I think having Rachel Hughes on for last week, we talked a lot about safety. And validation and attunement is a way of creating safety. And so a lot of the times when we're walking around feeling misunderstood or judged inside of relationships, there is like such a block in connection. And I know a lot of people who think that they just need to be truth tellers and they don't want to validate the person because they don't want to validate that what their belief system or their way of viewing the world, and they get so caught up on that. But I think it's Henry Cloud that says that truth without love is judgment, but love without truth is delusion. And so validation is a way, and it's a delicate space of really learning to do both those things, of attuning to someone. And so I'm going to give some examples of, give some referencing to the book, The Whole Brain Child, which really talks about this. And really they're talking about like how to, the focus is really on how to attune to your kids when they're, you know, like having big emotions. And so in The Whole Brain Child, the notes are a lot of their approach is about connecting with your child's inner world before trying to correct or redirect behavior. And so they say things like name it to tame it and then connect and redirect, which is really cool because I think that we think we're either one or the other. Like you're either very compassionate, but then you see no behavioral change. or you're kind of rigid and have no compassion and you're all about correcting behavior. And it's really interesting that a lot of our self-talk can be the same. Like we go straight to the behavior, shaming and condemning our behavior, but we don't actually attune to like what's happening in our inner world before we go into the correction of our behavior. And so in the book, The Whole Brain Child, basically it goes through, this is a way of us processing, like ending the conflict cycle that we find in our relationships, but also the conflict cycle that we have within ourselves. So basically we have our logic brain, which is the left brain, and then the right brain, which is more emotional. And so often when someone is having an emotional outburst, we will, if we're really calm and not emotional, we'll try often to meet that really emotional person with our logic of like, God's going to make it okay and you're fine and you'll be right. And we say things like that, which is so not comforting. Because we can logically see it's not a big deal, or maybe the response to something isn't, you know, is just more emotional. And so the thing is, like with validation, like I am really, this is just a side note, sorry, my tangent, but I know there are certain people I will not share certain parts of my story because they actually don't know how to explore pain in their own life. So then if I was to share something painful or something hard I went through, I know I'm going to be met with either pity or like some sort of disconnected response. So the better you are at like sitting with pain in your own life and attuning to difficulty in your own life, the better you will be able to hold space for someone else going through something painful. And so basically, like what we do in conflict is we try and have our logic reach their emotional brain. And what this book, The Whole Brain Child, talks about is actually we need to match emotion with emotion. And then it's like once you do that, you move into logic. Like naturally, like once you validate their emotional experience, you'll be able to get into the more logic of what happened. I think that like when I first started doing this and I was like counseling students and I was hearing all different kinds of stories and different perspectives of what happened in a situation. Like I'm hearing the same story, but through the lens of multiple different people. And part of me was like, I really want to validate everybody's experience because their experience matters. But then I realized like, oh, there's different versions of this story and this person is so gripping to their version of the story. And in a culture where we're like, we don't want to gaslight people and we don't want to do any of that, but we have to realize that sometimes oftentimes, all the time, pretty much through life, we are projecting our past story on the situation. And so learning how to attune to someone and validate someone, you're actually validating their emotions, like their feelings of like how they felt in that experience versus, and not necessarily like you're not trying to say, yes, that happened word for word. Like, and the thing is like, we don't fully remember everything anyway. And so we're trying to attune to their emotional experience. So a lot of people don't actually know how they feel about something, but they'll tell you about how bad the situation was, but they won't ever connect to the vulnerable emotions, more like, oh, I felt rejected in that, or I felt hurt by that, or I felt insecure when that was said. And so often like, what attunement is, you're attuning to the more vulnerable emotions. And so an example that I've used before, but it's helpful to use an example, is this was probably like 7-8 years ago. I was coming back from America to Australia. I was staying with my mom, and I said to her, "We never watched movies growing up. And often when we're triggered about something, it's always never language." So I said, "We never watched movies when we were growing up." And my mom turned to me and she said, "Oh, Ella, you really felt the lack in our home, like the real poverty mentality in our home, didn't you?" And I just immediately softened and I was like, "Yeah, I did feel anxiety around money growing up. Like I just felt that a lot in our home." And then I just felt really met by my mom. And then she shifted to, "But do you remember we used to get the 7 weekly movies from Video Easy for $7? Do you remember we used to do that every week because your dad loved watching movies every week?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, we used to watch movies all the time." And so that's an example where it was like this powerful repair moment where my mom was secure enough in herself to actually not have judgment or shame towards, you know, my experience growing up. She put herself aside and actually attuned to her daughter. And she actually said, "Oh, these are the experience. That's how you experienced your childhood. I'm so sorry that that happened." And I think this is what's powerful is like when we don't attune to our painful experiences in the past, we sort of have a, it's like everything becomes like your whole past becomes like, "Oh, we never had any good experiences." But when you start getting attunement, you're able to see like, "Oh, we had this experience that was abundant. We had this great thing that provided amazing opportunities." Like, and your brain can actually see more options and possibility. And so even by my mom attuning to me first before getting to the logic really showed a lot of like stability in her identity. But she also, I think the old way that would have probably planned out, she would have corrected me being like, "What do you think? Like, you're being ridiculous. Like, we watched so many movies. We went to Video Easy all the time and, you know, borrowed movies." Like, you know, like that's usually our response of like, "You're lying. We definitely went to the movies," but she actually like took a moment to validate like, "Oh, you felt this a lot. You must have felt that a lot." And it was a turning point because it actually showed me that that's what we can actually do to ourselves. So often when something painful happens, we go into action mode. Like, what are we going to do about it? Versus actually like attuning to like, "Oh, this hurt my feelings," or "I'm feeling rejected. So it makes me want to text that person and do this thing," out of reaction to the emotion that I don't want to get curious about and sit with. And so that's an example of your emotion meeting your emotion and then getting to the logic side, which I know can be really hard. So especially the older generation, like they wanted to meet logic all the time. They don't want to connect and attune to emotions because often that was seen as being passive or, you know, like, yeah, like it's seen as passive and like you're letting people off the hook. But what I've noticed is, especially with trauma, you need extra, extra validation. And so whether you have someone in your life or you are this person that feels like you need to explain every single detail inside of a story, it's usually because you felt so unseen and so unheard for so long. And so the only way of you communicating is through like, "I need to make sure I tell every single detail," but it often will keep you in a loop. Like you'll be looping and saying the same kind of stories. And it's usually because, number one, you probably haven't felt validated from people around you that your experience matters and that really sucked. but also you haven't actually learned to do it for yourself. And so this is the tension that I had to work out in, you know, sort of counseling students and like working with people for a long time, is I think I had this idea that we want to validate every single person. And then I realized like, oh, if we're going round and round the same mountain, there has to be a point where there is accountability and, letting the other person learn to validate their own experience. Because then I was noticing I would have a lot of relationships where I'm like, you know, it's like they're an empty bucket and you try and put encouragement into them and then they haven't plugged up their bucket, so they can't actually hold your validation. And so you are constantly pouring in encouragement and validation and then it just kind of falls out of their bucket because there's holes in it. And so it's not your job as a friend to plug up their bucket. Only that person can plug up their bucket so that they can have a container where they can actually hold your validation and encouragement. And so I think I love that a lot of us are getting more trauma-informed, and so we can actually hold space for relationships in our life that have gone through hard things. But there also has to be this kind of boundary with that, of learning how to hold space for people, but also have boundaries with people, because at the end of the day, we have to learn how to validate and attune to ourselves. And it's really powerful that even in science, it says that your voice with yourself has more authority than any other voices. So when you have, like, say you're like, really want your boss to validate you and say, you're amazing, you're awesome. And maybe they do it one time, but they're so hot and cold and they're projecting their insecurities on you. You actually have to learn how to like give yourself what you need and learn how to validate and encourage yourself, because then that's a way of you plugging up your bucket and you instilling confidence. So the power of validation, it really stops the trigger so logic can re-engage. And so I notice this in my own life, is like if I'm having a big emotion and then I learn to just validate it without fixing it, that's the big key, is you're not, because most people will say like, that really sucks that happened, but you really have to get off your ass and start working or whatever. Like, you know, so we can say we have to learn how to validate without fixing someone. So learning how to not jump in and give advice, that's like a real art form. And usually we want to give advice because we want to control. And so when we let go of control and our need to change people, our need to fix people, we can really just hold space for them. And, you know, sometimes we might, you know, if someone is in that validation complaining loop and you're like, this is actually getting irritating, we want to actually validate that you're feeling that way. And so maybe it's time to voice a boundary or a need for yourself. So validation, I used to think that validation was like the other person matters the most and I don't matter. My job is just to validate everybody's experience. But real validation is you matter and I matter. So you're both equals. So yeah, the power of validation is it stops the trigger so you can get logic re-engaged. It opens up your relational circuits to process pain. So when we're in judgment, that is when our relational circuits are off. We're offline with each other in connection, but validation will open up our relational circuits so that we can process discomfort and pain. It also prevents comparison, which always invalidates. Comparison is, if you are comparing someone else's pain to your pain, that's going to be invalidating your experience. And the powerful thing is God validates even when you're not right. And I know that's controversial, but He is so good at attuning to our experience. And I think an example of Jesus validating is in Lazarus, the story of Lazarus, who, if you don't know your Bible, it's basically Lazarus died and the sisters are like, why didn't you come earlier? I'm paraphrasing terribly, but basically if you had have come and prayed for him, he would have been healed, but you got waylaid and now he's dead. And in John 11, it says Jesus wept. And so Jesus could have been like, guys, I'm going to raise him from the dead. Like, why would you be sad? He actually attuned, he wept first, he attuned, and then he performed the miracle. And so even just seeing like how Jesus attunes to our emotions and then brings the miracle. So it's like a huge thing in a lot of church culture is spiritual bypassing, like where we bypass the painful thing to get to the positive thing, to get to the hopeful thing. But real attunement and even experiencing God as comforter and counselor and God Emmanuel, God with us, is actually through experiencing validation from him, validation that he sees. He's the God who sees your experience and validates your experience. So it's really a human emotion and need to feel understood. And a lot of tools that I've received in counseling is like the phrase, you make sense. It makes sense that you would feel that way. Like, it was very validating when I had Rachel, my consultant, say like, well, you went through this, 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 and listed off all the things. It would make sense that you would feel this way or not want to do that. And so that's always really validating because you're like, oh, I actually feel seen and heard. And the deeper things in my soul are being attuned to in this moment. So there's often tensions and challenges around validation. And so the reason why we don't want to validate is often because of the victim cycle. And so some people actually just don't want to be heard. They want to stay in powerlessness. They want validation to enable their stuckness. And so if we're in a victim cycle, and I say that delicately because the more trauma-informed I am, the more I understand like how, like some people actually do need a lot of validation, but it's actually that they need it from a therapeutic place, and they need to actually go and have trauma therapy or something on that level, and so for them to get out of it. But then there are some people that actually just don't want to change, and so we're just learning to have boundaries and like learning how to navigate that. And I think, you know, that's probably a big thing that I navigate with clients is learning how to have compassion but have boundaries. And then another thing that there's some challenges around is validation versus gossip. And so listening can sometimes drift into gossip, and it can sort of like feel really validating when someone's like, yeah, that person's the worst. but what I notice is like, gossip is such, it doesn't actually heal, whereas validation does. So it might feel like, you know, validating to talk about the person that you both don't like, or yeah, I'm not crazy because I think they're terrible as well. But like that doesn't actually bring real healing. And sometimes it actually causes you to ruminate even more because you're looking for people around you to validate that that person's a crazy person, and you're really villainizing and victimizing that person. Versus getting to the deeper things inside why you think that person, why you're drawn to that person in the first place. Like you're actually, validation is going deeper than the surface level of what your circumstances are telling you. It's tuning into the deeper emotions. And I know for me, like I've definitely pendulum swung with validation. I definitely swung to with validation, kind of went to being a bit of a doormat where I was like, oh yes, like everybody else's life sucks and my experience doesn't matter. And I just thought that the other person, this is very subconscious, I kind of thought the other person's experience mattered more than my experience. And I think that part of growing your identity or a sense of self is learning that there's no victims and villains, or there kind of there is, but also in your day-to-day life, if you kind of move away from that victim villain mentality or the good guy, bad guy. I know for me, if I like, you know, upset someone or disappointed someone, I would definitely become the villain in the story with myself. And so learning how to validate that, like, I matter and they matter, their experience matters, my experience matters, actually helps lower the stakes to get to wisdom, to be able to kind of find relational solutions or figure out the relational dynamics in the situation. So I think that validation is a way of creating safety in relationships, but it's also like if you are constantly the one validating someone, it can create a codependent dynamic where your needs don't matter and they are the ones that matter in the relationship. So healthy validation is honoring both experiences, including your own. So it's a real art form because especially in relational conflict, you're going to have two very different experiences. And so learning how to attune to each other's needs is going to be a journey to figure out how to do that. But also, like, I mean, I've been in dynamics where I've had someone, you know, say like, I want to give all this feedback, but no one's allowed to give feedback to me because I've gone through too much and I can't handle any feedback. And I was like, that's just not realistic. We have to realize that if we're going to voice all our concerns, we are opening ourselves back up for feedback and a dialogue. Like, it can't just be a monologue where you just validate all of my feelings and it's all about you. Like, there has to be this two-way street with validation. And I think this, like, often the objection is that and the fear, like the why we resist validation is we fear that their emotions are valid and that mine aren't. Another reason why we resist validation is that we believe inside of conflict, it's about being right instead of understanding. And when the highest goal in a conflict, in a relationship, is to be right, then you are missing connection. And I've heard it said even, I think it's William Paul Young who talks about like religion is really about the law and doing everything right. But then relationship, which is we are, you know, in a relational gospel, it's actually all about connection. And so it's like we're looking inside a conflict to be right. It's like you miss by an inch, you miss by a mile with that self-righteous behavior. Like, it's actually more about connection than it is about being quote-unquote right. And then another thing that makes us resist validation is shame keeps us from validating others or ourselves. So often if we feel shame about something, like we feel like maybe we've dropped the ball and we don't want to validate that our behavior affected someone. And so really learning how to validate and have compassion on yourself actually gives you capacity to validate someone else, or being able to acknowledge that you've affected someone. And so like in narcissistic kind of relationships, the person's never going to be able to validate you because they're probably like swimming in shame and unable to have the capacity to hold space for you. And so that's just a reality. And some signs someone feels invalidated. So this is really helpful to know, even just as an awareness in yourself, like if you're noticing like, I don't know if I feel validated or not. Some signs that you do feel invalidated is repetition, defensiveness, and shutdown or anger. So you repeat yourself a lot of the time. You get defensive if someone says something. You shut down. You want to isolate. You want to pull away, or you get really angry because you don't feel heard. And those are some signs that your heart really needs to be heard and your heart really needs to be validated for your emotional experience. And the more that we do that And the more that you learn to do it for yourself, you become so amazing at it for other people. And it becomes this healing power in connection with other people. I even think about like how powerful it is, like even in the Jesus model, that God became human so that he could fully validate our experience and say, I understand you. And so I think that that's such a the highest, most powerful example of validation, is that God himself would become a human to validate and relate to our experience. And so I think like for reflection, like some sort of self-reflection, is where do you need validation most right now? Like, is it in your parenting? Is it in your creativity, something that you're trying to put out in the world? And really look at like, if that person who I want to acknowledge, like what happened to me or what's been said to me, if they said that, how would that make me feel? And how can I actually give that to myself? And I think another thing to do is like, once you've actually articulated and identified, oh, I want to be validated by this person because of this, most people get cut short in that. They'll go, oh, I want my boyfriend to validate this in me, or I want my dad to validate this in me. And so he needs to validate me. And then we start trying to like control the other person, to try and get them to convince them to see us, to hear us, because we've been able to articulate what we want. Sometimes like that just doesn't happen. Sometimes in relationship, we can actually go, hey, I'm actually looking for this validation from you. Like, I'd love to know what you're feeling and thinking about this thing. Some people have the emotional maturity to like hold space for that. Sometimes it's not. So if you're a believer, there's a scripture in Psalm 139 that talks about how God searches our hearts and knows us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. Like, he is intimately aware of who we are, like, and knows us deeply. And I think that like meditating on that scripture and just reading over it over again, when you've been able to identify like, this is what I'm looking for from this person, and I've made them a God in my life, like whether it's your abuser or someone in your life, of like, if they can finally see how they've impacted me, then it's like, let's take them off the pedestal, or, you know, if you've taken any of my classes, let's take them out of the God spot where they have so much authority and power over me, and actually present this to God and say, God, I actually want to be seen and known and validated in this. And, you know, the Bible talks about asking and seeking and knocking. And so it's really powerful, because the presence of God, and I know some of you probably haven't even experienced that, but the presence of God is not just a calm vibe. It's like the most healing balm for the soul. It's like this beautiful otherworldly presence that comes in and soothes and comforts like nothing else. And so when you can actually experience that in your exchange with God, in meditation with him and meditating on Psalm 139, it's almost like that place in you that feels lacking from the validation gets to be met and attuned to. And so it's not only powerful to give that to yourself, but to also like to present it and experience that exchange with God. And then it's almost like you feel so filled up. You go into the world feeling so like your needs are met. And then all of a sudden people start validating your experience, and you're like, oh, wow, I wasn't like looking to the people to fill up this place. I actually had this place met in me. And so sometimes like that can be oversimplified. Some of you have gone through incredible, excruciating trauma, and you need to actually have some professional help in this area, because that's what therapy does a lot of the time, is validation. But there has to be a point where you decide that I'm going to learn how to validate myself, or if you're a Christian, like learn how to receive validation from God, and actually like let that be a place of empowerment so that I'm not waiting for something outside of me or some person to come back around and validate me. That feels really powerless. Whereas like if you can learn to validate these places in your heart and learn to find relationships and learn to give it away, validate other people, learn how to give to others what you needed yourself, then something starts to shift and you start to feel less alone in the world. Anyway, if this is a topic that it's pressing on some buttons as you're listening, you are so welcome to book in a coaching session because that's the place where a lot of what I do is to actually validate and settle into your experience and then get to the logic. So we validate your emotions and then usually we'll be able to find our way into the logic, and usually it happens intuitively or organically, and then we can get a strategy for how you can move forward. Anyway, thanks for listening today. We will be back next week with more wholehearted guideposts. And feel free to write a review, share with your friends, and have a wonderful week, everyone.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.